It's been a great bunch of preaching, both serving and ministry. I really enjoy the messages that I've heard so far, you know, from Brother Dan and Brother Kevin O'Keefe. And I suppose, you know, I'm listening to the messages being preached and everybody's saying what I'm going to say, you know. But I do have something that that I want to say. And I did want to go in a certain direction, and I suppose the Lord didn't allow me to go that way, and this is what I've written. What I'm saying really is that we're here tonight, we're saved, but we're saved to serve. We're saved to serve. And, you know, you often see, you know, in America you see when they're recruiting for the army or the navy or whatever, it says your country needs you. Yeah. Well, your church needs you, basically. So the title of my message is Saved to Serve. I just want to pray and ask the Lord to help me, because I need help. Lord, I just come before you now and ask you just to help me tonight to preach this message. Lord, I just need your help, Lord. I know that there's people here tonight, Lord, and they need to hear from you and just need some direction from you, Lord. There's people in ministry and there's people probably not in ministry yet, so I've got something to say to everyone here tonight, Lord, but especially to those that are not in ministry yet, and just to see the importance of ministry, Lord, and how it just honors you. So I pray you just help me now just to teach this lesson. I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So the memory verse that we're doing is 25:21, and his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And I suppose one of the things that we want to hear at the end of our time when we go to stand before the Lord, and we will stand before the Lord, we're going to stand before him. We want to hear those words, you know. We want to hear, you know, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And the purpose of this message is to help you to get to that place tonight. So by way of introduction, this month is given over to serving and ministry. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." It is very important to see that this church is a church of God, is the church of God. It was planted by the Lord Jesus Christ to make the gospel known in this area, in Ballincollig and beyond. It is also important to see that you, as members of this church, were put here by the Lord. If you go to Acts chapter 2, I just want to go through a few verses there. You were put here by the Lord. You just didn't happen to come here by accident. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 down to 47. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So he's adding to the church daily, every day since then. And when you were saved, you were added to this church. And there's people being added to the church all the time. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So you're not here by accident. You were added to the church. And this church is your place of worship, your public place of worship. It's your place of learning. It's your place of fellowship. And it's your place of service. Now, we need a place to grow and to learn the things of God. We need to come someplace where we can learn and grow and learn the things of God. We need to be cared for. We need to be nurtured and built up so that we can go out and show the world by our changed lives, by the work that God does in us, that God is real and has effected real change in our lives. When we gather on Sundays and on Wednesdays and at other scheduled times, it should be to see and meet the needs of others, to seek help for our own problems. And I've added this since I went home, and mainly for the preaching of the word, because that's what I heard this morning. But also to be a comfort and a blessing to others. You know, we're here to be, you know, we're here to be a blessing to others and to be a comfort to others. We shouldn't have this airy-fairy idea that everyone here is going to be a blessing. They are not. We are going to have to exercise grace to those people, recognizing that the enemy of our souls, our adversary, the accuser of the brethren, is always ready to pounce, separate and divide. He has an agenda. And his agenda is to shut you down and divide the church, to hinder your growth and the preaching of the gospel. The church exists for you to grow and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why this church is here. Now, God is a God of order and he's a God of discipline. In everything that he has created, he has assigned duties and responsibilities so that the given task is accomplished. For instance, you know, when Jesus started to preach, when John the Baptist was beheaded, when his ministry finished, and Jesus started, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You know, he was sent out to the lost sheep of Israel. He wasn't to go to the Gentiles. He had a specific job to do, a specific task to do. And that was the plan that God had, and that's the way it was. Eventually, around chapter 16, that changed when the Jews rejected him. And then he started speaking about the church. And now, it is now the times of the Gentiles. The gospel was then preached to the Gentiles. And this is the gospel of grace. Now, whether it's the Jews or the Gentiles, there needs to be a vehicle in place so that God's plan can be executed. There needs to be a way that God can get his message out. And this is through the local New Testament church. In 2 Peter 3:9, this is what God wants done. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, Lord, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God has a plan that his word will go out to everybody, that his word would be, that everybody would get the chance to receive Christ as their Savior. He's not willing that any should perish. And that's a huge task to accomplish, and he's doing it through the local New Testament church. God wants all men to know that Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. So this church, first of all, if you go to 1 Timothy 3:15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." So this church is the church of God, of the living God. This church belongs to God. That's the first thing. The second thing is that it has a head. Ephesians 1:22. "And had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church." Jesus Christ is the head of this church. Another thing is that you are his body. If you go to 1 Corinthians 12:27. I'm just reminding you of things that you know, but it's good to read them. It's good to see them. 1 Corinthians 12:27. "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." So you are members in particular and you are his body. You are his hands and his feet, and you are the means whereby he gets his will done. So you are members in particular. "You have been chosen. You've been planted here to help accomplish this task." If you go to Ephesians 2:10, the verse that Kevin used last Sunday night. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had ordained before that we should walk in them." So this was always his plan. The church was always his plan before, even before the foundation of the world. And this was always his plan. This was the way that he was going to do it. Which of God had before ordained that we should walk in them. This is what he wants us to do. And also John 15:16. John 15:16 talks about bearing fruit, but it talks about being chosen. Chosen. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." So you're chosen. You're planted here, and you're chosen to go forth and bring fruit. And someday you're going to give an account of how you responded to this call. If we just go to 2 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad." So we're going to all give an account of how we lived out the Lord's commands here in this church. We're all going to give an account before the Lord. So now with all that in mind, I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 25. And Matthew 25 talks about the parable of the talents. And starts in verses 14 down to 30. And I'll read through it. The parable of the talents, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them 5 other talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which had 10 talents. For unto every one that had shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that had not shall be taken away even that which he had. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So here we have a man. He's a wealthy man. He's got a lot of goods. And he travels into a far country. He says that in verse 14. And his goods are something that is very, very important to him. He has left his goods with his servants. And he's told them, well, if you go to Luke 19:13, you will see that there's an extra little bit added onto that there. It says, occupy till I come, which means trade. In other words, what he gave them, he wanted them to use. So this man was trusting the servants with his goods. Now, this talents is money. And it was quite a lot of money that he gave out. He gave 1 5, he gave another 2, he gave another 1 1. And when you look at the amounts of money here, which says it's something like 1,920,000 is 5 talents. And then 7, let's say, a little over 500,000 is 2 talents. And 1 talent is whatever. I think it's 1,920, something like that, or whatever. It's quite a lot of money. It was his goods. I mean, he would have worked hard for his money. And he's given his goods on to these people. And he's trusting them to occupy, to trade. What he has given them is very important to him. And he wanted them to make a profit with what they got. Now in verse 15 he says, one guy got 5 talents, another guy got 2 talents, and one guy got 1 talent. And the Bible says in verse 15 that the money was given to every man according to his several ability. And then it says straightaway then he took his journey. So they were given this money in accordance with ability. And in verse 16 they went out and started to trade, at least 2 of them did. One guy that went out that had five, he traded, and he got 5. The guy that had 2, he went out and traded, and he came back with 2. And he that received 1, he went and hid it and digged the earth. He didn't do anything with what he got. He just digged it. He hid it. And something that's very important in that verse, when I get to it later on, he says, you know, the reason that he didn't do it is that he was afraid. Yeah. Now, the man traveling into the far country is a picture of Jesus Christ. Yeah. His goods referred to what Christ earned for us on the cross was the gift of salvation. So the man traveling into the far country is the Lord Jesus, and he has given us his goods, which he purchased with his own blood on the cross, which is the gift of salvation. And every person who's saved has that one talent, okay, has that gift. What he gives us is very important to him, because it cost us all that he had. The 5 talents and the 2 talents and the 1 talent, you know, they reflect each person's ability to trade. That's how I look at this. You know, he gave the 5 talents to a person who had more ability than the person that had 2, then more ability than the person that had 1. So it reflects the person's ability. And he wants all to bear fruit. Christ wants all of us to bear fruit. Now, he's given all of us the gift of salvation. Some have more ability than others and will be more accountable than others, but all will be held to account for what you got. So he wants all of us to bear fruit. He that received the 5 talents went and used everything at his disposal and gained 5 talents. He threw his whole life into investing his life into making a return for what he got. And he returned. He got 5. He returned 5. He that had 2 did likewise. But he that had 1 went and he hid his talent. He didn't trade. He didn't witness. He didn't use what he got. He hid his talent in the ground. No one knew what he had. And I just have a comment here. All of these servants knew that they had to do something with what they were given. All of us know, all of us here that are saved, know we're saved for a reason. No, we have to do something with what we got. A talent was a great sum of money, and it held out a great investment opportunity. When you were saved, you were given a precious gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift, his priceless gift." If you contrast what I'm talking here with verse 14, you know, the man went to a far place and he delivered unto them his goods. Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, was crucified, he purchased our salvation. He ascended into heaven. And there's, if you just turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and keep your finger on Matthew 25 and go to Ephesians 4. I just want to bring out something here. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. It says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Now that's what the Bible says. Every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. "Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." So when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. He defeated all our enemies and all our foes. Everything that was against us and contrary to us. He defeated sin. He nailed it to the cross. He defeated all our enemies. It says that in Colossians 2, 13 and 14, if you look it up. It says that he made a show of them openly. He just made a show of, you know, when the devil came along and he came to Jesus, Jesus said, "He has nothing in me." There was nothing in Jesus that the devil could use and take. And he defeated his enemies because he had a perfect life. And the gifts that he gave unto us was what he purchased for us, was the gift of salvation and freedom from the power of sin and freedom from all this spiritual warfare that takes place here. You know, thinking that the devil has some hold on you. He has no hold on you except that you give it to him. He has been defeated. So you have gifts. You have gifts given to you by the Lord. They were purchased for you, and he's given them to you. But like you see there in verse chapter 4, verse 11, he has done something else. He's given some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. In other words, he has given us the wherewithal where the church will be built up and edified. He has given all these different people. All these different people have different abilities. They have the same gift of salvation, but all have different abilities, and all are there for one specific purpose. And it says it in the next verse, in verse 12, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So that's where you get trained. That's where you get built up to go out and fight the good fight of faith, here in the local New Testament church. Now, if you go to 1 Corinthians 12, he's given us gifts. He's given us gifts. He's given us all gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12. And the reason he's given us gifts is to enable us to trade, enable us to witness. 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is of the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. We've all been given the Holy Spirit in order for us to profit. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one, by the Spirit then, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And to another, the working of miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, descending of spirits. And to another, diverse kind of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. There are some things here that are not given today, like speaking in tongues and that kind of stuff. But like, we have all received something that we can use to further the gift of salvation that's in us, to enable us to be able to preach the gospel. Okay, we've all got something, and it's given to us by the Holy Spirit. So we have something not only to trade with, but the tool, the means to do it. And also we have the New Testament church, where we get built up and trained up and ready to build up personally and to be built up to go out and to win the lost for Christ. So this is what he has done for us. So you have the Spirit to profit with all, and you have a gift, you know, a talent or gifts, 5 talents, to enable you to trade or to witness. How? You know, how is this done? In Ephesians 4:12. I think I've said it. Yeah, I said it. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. How is it done? In here, listening to the preaching of the word, in here, and specifically in here, when you get involved in ministry. Because when you get involved in ministry, then you start using what God gave you. This is something I found out here. When I got saved here in the 9th of January 2003, I was on a honeymoon here for about 12 months. I was just listening to the word, and you know, it was just wonderful just being here, turning up all the time. I was just hungry. I was so hungry just to listen to the word and to grow. But I was also wondering, what did God want me to do with my life? I was wondering, you know, how was I supposed to serve God with what I got? And, you know, it didn't kind of jump into my head that, you know, you were an alcoholic, you know, maybe you should go out and rescue them. It didn't. That didn't kind of come into my mind, because I had just left AA. But I knew that I would have had, you know, to witness to them and that. But I didn't see it like as a work, if you know what I mean. So I started to pray and ask God, where does he want me? What do you want me to do? Why am I here? In other words, what am I doing in this church? And I asked him, why am I here? What am I supposed to do? And the following Sunday, after I prayed that, Leighton Kelly was in front of me. And Leighton Kelly was presenting the ministry of RU. And Leighton Kelly is 5 foot nothing. And Leighton Kelly had a huge big plan, and he had a huge ministry. And I was saying, how is he going to do that? How is he going to do what he's going to do? You know, I was looking at the outside, you know, but God had already looked in his heart and saw something different. Like, and he enabled Leighton Kelly to do the ministry of RU. But like I was watching him, like, and I was beginning to see. He was an answer to my prayer, you know, and I was beginning to see the difficulties involved in the ministry. And the first thing I could see was that he was preaching, and I wasn't going to get up and do that. That was not something that I was going to do. I just didn't think that was something that I was going to do. But the thing was, you know, I was struggling with it all the time. And at the end of the service, Leighton had a whole lot of tracks, and he had a whole lot of visual kind of impact pictures of before and after pictures. And I went down and I looked at a picture of a lady who was, she was an addict, she was addicted to heroin, she was a beautiful young girl, and she was wrecked. And it was then that I saw that there was a need for what he was doing, and it was then that I said to myself, I have to help people with addiction. And it was only when I saw the need that I got the burden. Do you understand what I'm saying? When I saw the need, then, and it's only when I saw that, then, you know, I put aside the problems like preaching and stuff like that. You know, that didn't, all of that was always there, and I've always had a problem with it. But I went ahead and did it. It didn't kind of stop me from going and doing it. So that, you know, God challenged me to do something with what he'd given me. And I just didn't want to say yes to RU. I could see that there was more to RU than I thought. Things that I couldn't do or thought I couldn't do, like the preaching. And outside of what I was thinking, there was a need. And it was driven home to me by a picture poster which I've just explained to you. It was a visual, very visual. So RU is like any other ministry in this church. You know, it needs volunteers, otherwise it wouldn't work. RU would not work with just me. There's loads of volunteers that are here tonight. Dennis Lenehan, Dan, Cathy. There's lots of other people. I hope I don't leave anybody out now. I hope you don't get upset if I don't mention your name. But there's a lot of people helping out in RU. And that's the reason why it works, you know. That's the reason why it works. You know, through the ministry and the help that the Lord has provided, like all the workers, there's been fruit. He has enabled me to trade. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's given me, he delivered me from my addiction. He saved me and delivered me from my addiction. And then he gave me a way to serve him. That's what I'm saying. He gave me a ministry. And that's what I'm doing. That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. Without this church, RU would collapse. If I decided to just go out and do my own thing, it wouldn't last. Because I have the backing of the church. I have the support of the church. I'm under the Lord's command here, if you know what I mean. I'm under his direction. And I'm under his leadership. And I'm under his structure. And I'm under his, you know, everything that he's put in place, I'm under it in here. And it's through here that I serve him. Through the church. Through, RU is part of the church. That's, I want you to understand that God has put you here for a reason. He has put you here for a reason. And if you are not in the ministry, you need to pray and ask the Lord, where does he want you to serve? Where do you want me to serve in this church? Why am I here? Have a look through the list of ministries. They're on the table. You know, there's so many ministries, and all of them are equally important. All ministries in this church are there to serve the Lord. And if you will find out where he wants you to put you, if you pray, he will answer you. And you can then move into a ministry, and then you can serve him there. And then you can start trading for what you got. You understand what I'm saying? You can then start. And you know, it doesn't really matter what ministry you go into, because if the Lord says, I want you there, that's where he wants you to be, and that's where you're going to trade there. Recently, I was in a church in San Francisco. I was on holidays, and I noticed there was a young man there who was involved in music ministry. And I want to read to you his testimony. This is an amazing testimony for this young guy. He's only about 27 or 28. And it's the Green Violin, it's called. You've never seen a green violin. This is a heading here. Some things don't look like we expect them to look. He says, when I was born in 1975 as Hugh O'Connor, I certainly wasn't what my parents expected. I had no ears to hear, but that wasn't all. My appearance was so unexpected and my prognosis so grim that I was immediately put up for adoption. A rare genetic condition affecting development of craniofacial structures in the human embryo caused me to be born with no ears, no ear canals, no middle ear cavities, just solid bone. I didn't have eye sockets or cheekbones. I had a cleft palate and a very thin lower jaw. My tongue was too large for my tiny throat and mouth. I still struggled with breathing and eating. While growing up, I had over 20 facial reconstructive surgeries, including one surgical mishap that cost me an eye, extensive speech therapy, and special bone conduction hearing aids. Like my green violin, I'm different. Let me tell you about the most important difference of all. In a world obsessed with appearance, you would rightly wonder how someone could overcome such a disability. My first 3 years were spent in state foster care, but then I was adopted into a loving family and given a new name, Francis Smith. My new parents, who were Christians, had already adopted 8 other children with disabilities and adopted another after me. Our family attended a Bible-believing church where I heard about God's love for me. I learned that I could be adopted into his family, even though I had been born with a life-destroying problem of sin. I had no ears to hear sound, but I had a heart to hear the truth. I heard God's promise in Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I heard that all of creation is groaning under the bondage of sin, and that because of sin, life on earth is filled with pain. I heard that we are waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, Romans 8:23. I wanted to be adopted into God's family, and have this life-saving hope of a new body someday. I trusted Christ to save me when I was 9 years old. I continue to suffer physically and suffered emotionally from the taunts and mockery of my peers, who were shocked by my appearance. When we see something unusual or unexpected, especially in human appearance, we must remember that God does not see as men do. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. In high school, I began to learn that God had a purpose for me, and he had made me for his glory. It was the young shepherd boy David, whose outward appearance was mentioned in the verse you just read. No one would have chosen him to fight against the giant Goliath or to become the greatest king of Israel, but God did. David said in Psalm 139:14-16, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul know right well. Thine eyes did see my substance, that word means embryo, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. God knew that he gave me life, when he gave me life, that he planned for me to enter the field of medicine, to study in London, England, to meet the doctor that identified the gene that caused my condition, Treacher Collins syndrome. God planned for me to return to San Francisco to pursue a PhD in craniofacial embryology. He even planned for you to read my testimony. In James 1, 2, 3, we are taught to count it all joy when we go through trials, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. As a boy, my faith was tried, but through that trial, I learned the patience that I have needed to live with my disability. For me, life began with little hope of ever hearing a sound, but now I love music and serve the Lord with it at church, sometimes by playing the piano, but especially by playing my green violin. He serves the Lord in church by playing his green violin. And I saw him there, and he's amazing. You know, he's amazing. He not only plays the violin, he plays piano. He jumps up at every special song, and he's alive, and he's serving the Lord in church. True, that's what he's doing. And you know something? The Lord's going to use that, and he's going to use it to win souls to him, because he is active in his local New Testament church and has overcome. How many obstacles has he overcome to do what he did? Now, he can do it. We can certainly do something. God can use you if you become willing to be used. I mean, last Tuesday morning I went to work and I was greeted with, outside the office there was 4 or 5 ladies, and I was wondering why there were so many ladies outside the office on a Tuesday morning. And they were all involved in ministry, and they were going out to do a job in somebody's house, to clean up somebody's house. God's going to use that. God's going to use that. That's ministry. In the creche ministry, you'd say, how can you win souls in the creche ministry? Well, if you're in the creche ministry and somebody comes in and drops their baby in and they're not saved, you have an opportunity to witness them. God can use anything. If it's where you're supposed to be, he'll use it and he'll use you, and you'll win souls to Christ. It's not the ministry. It's where God puts you. That's your ministry. Okay? It's where God puts you. Now, I volunteer for other ministries here because there was a need. I volunteer for Sunday school. There are kids in Sunday school, you know, that are not saved. You know, if I were their parent, I'd be in there. I would volunteer for Sunday school if I had a child in Sunday school, and I would volunteer to be a teacher in Sunday school because I would want to make sure that my child would know the gospel. I tell you, I would do that. You know, if I were their parent, I would be in there, teaching them and making sure that they knew God's love for them. You know, do I have the gift of teaching? It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't stop me from going in because my kids, my input. But unfortunately, not everyone can see the importance of serving in your local church. In verse 18, get back to Matthew 25. In verse 18, but he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Not everybody can see the importance of serving in their local church. And then in verse 19, and after a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And in verse 20, and so he that had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And he that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. You know, all those guys there, they got involved in ministry. They got involved in their local New Testament Baptist Church, you know. They got involved in ministry and they traded. But his Lord, there was one guy. His Lord said unto him, yeah. But he that had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. You know, in those two verses there, you know, he did not trade. He did not go out. The other two got a good report for what they did. They got involved. He did nothing. And you know, the Lord said to him in verses 26 and 27, he said, thou wicked and slothful servant, you know. He said, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. You know, I was just wondering, you know, when I was reading that, when he got that reply, I was saying to myself, was he saved, you know? Because, you know, if you're saved, I think you want to do something for the Lord. I don't know. But I noticed that through the local New Testament church, in company with other believers, I'm calling them one talent believers. Believers that don't have the same abilities as other, you know, gifted believers. They can trade with other believers and can overcome that desire to run and hide their talent. You see, that guy, he ran, he hid. He was afraid, he ran and he hid. And I can identify with that, you know. Because that's what I wanted to do too when it was put up to me. I just wanted to run. And, you know, it was because I was surrounded with people, other people here, that encouraged me, that I was able to stand and do what I had to do. That's the point I'm making here, you know. Because if you're a one-talent believer, you know, you're surrounded by people, they're just like you. But you're also surrounded by people that are stronger and that will be able to guide you and that will be able to help you. You know, I was afraid when I stepped outside of my comfort zone to witness. You know, but through the help of other believers, you know, Martin Monaghan, and my good friend Paul Layton. I went witnessing with Paul. It was Martin that rang the soul winning course, and then Paul brought me out on soul winning. And the very first door I knocked at, I wanted to run away. I didn't want to stay there. Paul said, "Come on, come on." So I stayed. You know, it's because of other believers that I was able to go. I was afraid when I stepped out to do the RU. You know, I remember one time I was asked to go up to Dublin and preach in a church up in Dublin. So I went up sweating and I got a message ready. And then I stood up and I looked around. Like, there was four newcomers there in the room and everything. There was about 20 people in the room. And my tongue stuck to the roof of my mouth. And I couldn't talk. It was like that. Well, the pastor had run away and get a glass of water for me. I don't know if the four ever came back. You know, I was terrified, honest to God. But I went and did it. You know, when I went to teach the Sunday school, you know, God has an... I was terrified when I went to teach the Sunday school. But that's the worst yet. But God has enabled me to do what he's asked me to do. It's always a struggle, but God is always there. Don't let fear hold you back. This servant, he said, and he was afraid. That's what stuck in my mind. Don't let fear hold you back from serving the Lord. There was a book that I used to read and I read before I got saved. It said, feel the fear and do it anyway. That's just do it. I was afraid. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In verse 27, it talks about something. It says, and thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers. If he had gone and got some help, how to invest his money, he'd have made something. He would have had some return for the Lord, you know. He would have had something if he had gone to the exchangers and got some help. If you get involved with the ministries of this church, you will have something to offer the Lord when you stand before him. And you will hear those words, well done, my good, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now, I just want to go back to 2 Corinthians 5. You can finish there now. 2 Corinthians 5. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:9-10. I just want to remind you one more time. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. And just go over back one chapter into 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, he that had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So if you start trading, you get involved here, get involved in this church, do the ministry through the church, fill all the there's ministries here that have needs, fill them. You know, if you get in here and start working, if any man's work abide, the work that's going to abide is the work that's done through this church and the ministries of this church. If any man's work abide, he that had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now, for you to get involved means to die. You've got to die to yourself, and you've got to get in there and do what has to be done. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I wanted to mention that because in the parable of the wicked servant, he's cast into hell, I think. He's cast into the lake of fire. He's cast into outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. But as a Christian, you're not going to be cast into outer darkness where it is weak. But it says you will suffer loss. And I just wanted you to know that you'll suffer loss, but you won't be cast into the lake of fire. My message to you tonight is that any work that is done outside the control or the blessing of the New Testament church will turn out to be wood, hay and stubble. But if your work is grounded in the ministries of the local New Testament church, this work will abide, and you will receive a reward. You know, meet the needs of this church. Fill up the ministries that need to be filled. You know, if we don't meet one another's needs in this church, how can we meet the needs of those outside the church? If we don't look after what's going on in here, we're not going to be able to look after anyone that comes in here. So just maybe a little summary. You have received the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. You have been planted here in the local New Testament church. You're not here by an accident. God has put you here. You have been gifted to serve in a ministry, believe it or believe it not. You have been gifted to serve in some ministry here because you were put here. You are here. You are to use your gifts to edify the body. You know, we are to build each other up. You are to use your ministry to reach out to the world. You can do that. That's what we do through RU. You are part of the Bible Baptist Church, Ballincollig. The church has been told to go, and we move as a unit, not as individuals. It's not private ministries that you do. It's through the church, and we all go as one unit. Do your part and enable this church to fulfill the Great Commission. Find your place of service and serve. And when you're called to go, go. That's the message. All right, I just thank you for helping me to preach this message. I pray that it would be a blessing to everybody here, and especially to anybody who wants to know, Lord, what you want them to do here in this church, Lord. And I pray that, that as a result, Lord, that it will direct that person or those persons to you, and that you would direct them to the ministries in this church to enable this church, Lord, to fulfill the Great Commission. So I pray you bless this message to everybody's heart here tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.